Welcome to Church Ahead, the weekly Christian podcast talking about big questions facing the future of church with Rev L, all the way from the north of England. Episode 95, Lay Should. Yes, I know I shouldn't be telling lay people what they should do. Really, this episode should have the less judgmental title of Lay Could. What could lay people do in church? Let's dream some dreams as we finish this three-part series on lay ministry. George Orwell said England is like a Victorian family where the wrong people are in charge. And of course, since he wrote those words in The Lion and the Unicorn, 1941, this country's evolved quite a bit in terms of who runs things these days. But what about church? It's a family, all right, but are the right family members in charge of the right things? Church is changing. For all its tensions and tantrums, I think the Church of England making its biggest decisions through the General Synod since the 1970s is better than the alternative. Father knows best. That's top-down popery. Even the Roman Catholic Church is experimenting with synodality these days. Lay people play a growing role in the governance of church. Rightly so, but still not enough for my liking. Let's talk about money. When George Orwell wrote, this country's finances were largely within aristocratic hands. House of Lords was still powerful and many government ministers were from titled backgrounds. Today, the nation's finances are in the hands of a much wider swathe of society, more representative. Church finance tells a similar story. It's slowly been wrested from ecclesiastical aristocracy. That's the bishops and senior clergy. If we look at the top tier of church money, that's the assets and the income allocation from those assets for the national church. This has been in the hands of the church commissioners since later on in that same decade, as Orwell wrote. The 33 commissioners guiding them are mainly clergy, but the top 8 executive staff actually running the thing, making the day-to-day decisions, are all suitably qualified lay people. Clergy theorise about spending priority, but lay people hold the purse strings. I think that's about right. This is as it should be, and this is why the Church of England finances are in pretty good order at this top level. Now, let's talk about something even more valuable than the Church Commissioner's £10 billion investment fund. The safeguarding of our children and vulnerable adults. Yes, it's on a similar trajectory, moving in the same direction. After the awful reality of just how much abuse goes on in church, mainly, though not always, at the hands of clergy, the early initiatives to do something about it were essentially each bishop checks their clergy as part of their general oversight. Right, young vicar, lucky to be in my diocese, do you believe in God? Tick. Have you kept your hands out of the till? Tick. No convictions of anything wrong with minors. Tick. Phew. That's right. Okay, that'll do. And when something does go wrong, the bishop decides what sanction is appropriate. Now, this wasn't always a disaster. My bishop of Chester, Peter Forster, handled all these cases himself. And my opinion is he was rather good at it. Firm but fair, in dealing with all sorts of clergy cock-ups. It saddened me that he was pushed into early retirement because of a historic safeguarding mistake come back to bite him. No system is perfect, and I thought his judgment was generally fairly sound. And managing people is in part about subjective human judgment. It's not just about following written rules. But over time, the bishops were seen to make so many mistakes, usually being over-lenient with clergy they like, and their process for addressing complaints was not sufficiently victim-focused and certainly not properly independent, so that an awful lot of people lost confidence. Put simply, what's happening now is that safeguarding is being taken out of clergy line management and made properly independent of clergy. Lay people are now in charge of safeguarding. 10 years ago, when most dioceses had one professional safeguarding officer under the bishop's authority, that was a sort of halfway house where on a good day the safeguarding officer would push for the best standards, and perhaps on a bad day they'd remember they answered to the bishop. Put simply, clergy cannot mark their own homework. When they do something wrong or stupid with children or vulnerable adults, they will answer not to their own professional club, but an independent lay body. That is progress in my book. What else would I take out of clergy hands and put lay people in charge of? How about HR, what used to be called personnel, human resources? Churches employ lots of workers in all sorts of roles, from curates to cleaners, administrators to academics, from teachers to youth workers. Anybody whose livelihood depends on church needs a more professional approach to their conditions of employment than most clergy can provide. Lay people are increasingly coming onto most clergy appointment panels, but I sense their role is still subsidiary. I would like to see them come to the fore and take the lead, and then, yes, manage the employment process after appointment. Yes, give us more lay leadership in HR, please. I think I feel the same about PR, public relations. I often grimace when I see clergy trying to represent the public face of church. The media love odd clergy saying daft things, and so many are just too vain to resist. I suppose I prefer more sane, self-aware lay people taking the microphone. And if I can fly one kite, if the established church is going to be represented in the House of Lords, can't we find a way of replacing the bishops with lay people? I fancy laymen and laywomen would not embarrass us so publicly time and again. And if I can get away with one new role in the National Church, how about a lay version of the two archbishops? Anyone for arch-laywoman or arch-layman of the year? Okay, we need a better title than that, but I think you get the idea. Do you remember John from episode 93? When he's not chairing a music society or campaigning for the Greens, he is a church warden in the Peak District. John is responsible as warden for the fabric of his parish church. There's a lot of rain in the Peak District, and when a gutter leaks, it's John's job to fix it. OK, but this is what I think would be a more commensurate use of his talents as a high-flying, recently retired pro. How about put him in charge of money and public relations for his diocese? That was John. Now let me introduce you to Janet. John and Janet were a 1950s children's book pair, but on Church Ahead they are notional lay leaders of the future. Janet goes to her local in Doncaster most weeks. She's 45 years old and the head of social work for the whole town in Doncaster. At church, her grandmother used to do the flowers. Her mother was the PCC secretary. Janet doesn't have a voluntary role in church at the moment because she's so busy at work, although she's resigned to becoming parish safeguarding officer when she finally retires. I would recruit Janet now and put her in charge of the HR and or safeguarding for her diocese. Yes, on a paid basis. I think this would be a better use of John and Janet. And if my dreams are not radical enough, one last twist of the knife. I think we're living through an important shift in the tectonic plates of church life. I'm not talking so much about our denominational machinery, where lay people are rightly playing a growing role in the overhaul. I'm talking about something much bigger. The Christian religion is re-evaluating itself as it's dragged, kicking and screaming, through a new Reformation. Some say the Third Reformation. The third period of intense theological wrangling as a new version of church emerges. There's nothing original about this analysis, and I'm sure many of you heard the first few centuries Reformation was arguments about the status of Jesus and the Trinity. And then the second, which we normally call the Reformation, was a Reformation about struggles to do with churchy issues like the status of the Eucharist and ministry. Clergy dominated these conversations during these first two Reformations. But the Reformation we're moving into now is about what it means to be human. Yes, clergy have got something to contribute, but my sense is that if we want to outfox George Orwell's description of a family conference with the wrong people in charge, then we should expect lay Christians to be at the forefront of these conversations that are going to command our attention for the next few decades. I see the current sexuality spats as minor early skirmishes in something much bigger. What is a compelling Christian vision for life as a human being under God in this world in the 21st century? I do not want to see clergy lead this discussion. I want to see our brightest and best lay people taking the lead. I have no interest in doing down clergy, who make up quite a few of the listeners to this podcast. We want you. We need you. Your role is vital. I am not trying to marginalise you. I'm asking you to consider what's the right relationship for clergy and laity in the 21st century church. Here is my observation of the sides people tend to take over my decades of church involvement. Clergy are constitutionally conservative. Their instinct is to defend the past and police the present. They are instinctively defensive about change. Lay people are more likely to look forwards, to embrace change, valuing church, but less imprisoned by it. In a confusing landscape, to see which way the wind is blowing. I can see it in myself how closed and overcautious I was as a curate, and how stepping away from the responsibility of running a church enabled me to loosen up a bit, and in the words of Bob Dylan, admit that the waters around me have grown, to accept that the times are changing. That conservative mindset served clergy well for many centuries, but it's unravelling in the 21st century. Look, you clergy are not the centre of attention today. Lay people are centre stage. And all I'm saying is that they are often better than us at seeing the future. And at this point in Christian history, I think that counts for quite a lot. So, what should lay people do? Lay people should lead the third Reformation of Christianity. Thank you for listening to episode 95. Next week, we wake up in Withenshaw as we consider the church's progress and regress over nearly a century on one Manchester overspill estate.